The last time I preached in October on a Sunday night, I preached a lesson about can a Christian fall from grace? And its twofold purpose was to show that there's a false doctrine out there that people think you cannot fall from grace, but also to warn Christians that yes, you can fall from grace. And today, I want to pick up kind of the thought process, work in the Lord so we don't fall from grace. Again, this would be to those that are members of the Lord's body that tell us that there are certain things the Lord expects from us to do to please Him in this life so we can be found faithful. And also the fact that, again, this kind of refutes the false notion that you don't have to do works in order to be saved. So we're going to look at from that aspect. We want to start this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. And a lot of times when I preach a lesson, this is probably the last verse I'll read, but this morning it's going to be the first one I read. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. From this verse, we can just see the fact that to serve God, we need to be working. We need to be laboring in the work of the Lord. It just flies in the face of those that say we don't need to do anything to please God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. God wants to supply those things that are necessary for us to strive to do His will for every good work. God expects us to do work to please Him. In John chapter 9, beginning in verse 39. No, actually, John chapter 8, beginning in verse 39. Then they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. They then said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And he goes on and tells them that you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. But Jesus here says that if they were Abraham's children, they would do the works of Abraham. A lot of times they like to go to Abraham and say, well, Abraham was, you know, justified by faith. But they fail to look at that God says that you would do the works of Abraham. Abraham did things to please God. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 35, Peter's preaching and he says, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Those that work righteousness. Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Romans 2, beginning in verse 6. Who will render each according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many have sinned without law, also will perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law, will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. It's plain and simple. The language is simple here, that we need to be working. We need to be doing those things that please God. And God's going to render everyone according to their works, whether good or evil. And people are working good or evil every day. Ephesians chapter 2, another verse that people that believe in faith only like to go to, and they say, oh, you can't be saved by works. Ephesians 2, beginning verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that of yourselves it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And they love to stop there. They say, see, you can't be saved by works. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God planned good works. He's had these in his plan of salvation, good works that he expects his children to do to please him in this life. Let's now look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Brethren, if any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself also, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. So if someone is overtaken in a trespass, someone who's spiritual needs to restore that person. So we ask the question, if you can never be lost, well then how can you someone be restored to something they never have lost? Obviously this person is to be restored, and it's the responsibility of a faithful Christian to help this person. In verse 3, how does someone deceive himself? Again, it gets back to the fact that you can deceive yourself. In verse 4, but let each one examine his own work. We must beware, or we can be found not doing the work of the Lord and be overtaken in a trespass. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 12. There's a lot of great passages in the book of Proverbs that really help the thought of what's taught by us in the New Testament. Proverbs 24 and verse 12. If you say, surely we did not know this, is not he who weighs the heart considerate? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? God knows our hearts. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For God will bring every good work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. It is always throughout all of the scriptures that God expects man to fear him and keep his commandments. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. Colossians 1 and 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. This verse says we need to walk worthy of the Lord. And when you look up the word walk in vines, it's a figuratively signifying the whole round of the activities of the individual life, whether the regenerate, unregenerate, or the believer. And if you look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. So that's the walk of the unregenerate. They're walking according to their own lust, their own mind. But of a believer, though, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 7:17. But as God has distributed each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches. So here we see the walk that God ordains, the walk that God expects us to do. Back in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Colossians 2 and verse 6. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. We need to be walking as Christ walked. Let's now look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 John 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Someone who is a believer that walks in darkness, which the verse before, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. They no longer have the blood of Jesus to cleanse them from their sins. That's the walk that they're now in. They're no longer walking as Christ wants them to walk. And back in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So we understand that we're walking in darkness, and these sins that are listed here, we no longer have the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from our sins. And the warning here in Ephesians 5 is to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So if someone cannot return to the unfruitful works of darkness, why did the Apostle Paul have to give this warning? Again, this gets back to some... You can't go back into the world. It's impossible. But why give this a warning if it's not possible? Romans chapter 4 and verse 12. And the father of the circumcision to those who are not of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while he was still uncircumcised. Abraham was an example of someone who walked in the way that God wanted him to do. He was obedient to God. He did what God wanted. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Also back in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, we're told that we must fully please him. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's our responsibility to know God's will and to diligently seek him, to understand what he wants us to do. Back in Colossians 1:10, Paul stated we would be fruitful in every good work. We must show our faith by what we are doing. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. We need to know God's will. In Luke chapter 6, this actually is a little bit better, this rendering of this thought. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Who comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it. It was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently. Immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. By the way, it's interesting. He says the person in verse 49 did nothing. Well, that shows that we need to be active. And some people think, well, if I'm neutral. You know, I'm not in Satan's camp. But no, you're either with God or against God. So, next we're told to increase in the knowledge of God. How can someone please God if they fail to grow spiritually? And this is actually a command in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. We're to grow in the grace and love. Back in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If, the big word if, indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. If you continue in the faith. Matthew 16 and verse 27. But the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then will reward each according to his works. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 talks about remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. What does Paul mean by your work of faith? Obviously, it's the things you've learned from the gospel, the things that we need to do to serve God. 2 Thessalonians 2:17, God will comfort your hearts and establish you in every word and work. God wants to help us. He wants to help us in these things that we need to do in this life. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to obey. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So we ask the question, what will become of those riches? What will become of those who are rich, who trust in uncertain riches? Do not do good, are not rich in good works, do not give, do not share. Will they be able to store up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life? God says if they fail in this area, they cannot have eternal life. So someone who's God considers rich, they need to consider that they need to be doing good works with these gifts that God gives them. John chapter 5, verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Those that have done good, those that have followed the instructions here for the rich, resurrection of life. But those who have done evil, those who have not shared, condemnation. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, beginning verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Time and time again, we can see that God expects us to be doing things to work. Otherwise, we cannot reap everlasting life. He says, don't grow weary while doing good. Somebody says, well, you're trying to earn your salvation. No, I'm not growing weary by doing good. It's just the opposite of what some people want to say that you do. You don't do works. God expects us. We feel good when we do what God wants us to do. Colossians 3, verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. If someone is not serving God, how can they expect to get the reward? But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there's no partiality. It's the same for everybody. We'll all be judged by the same thing. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction and instruction. That's training or discipline. In righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's on our side. He equips us for all these things. He gives us the tools we need. In Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. Sound speech and cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back. Not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Is someone a pattern of good works if they fail to show integrity in doctrine? They're not reverent, respectful. They do not have sound speech. They're not obedient to their masters. Or they're a pilferer, someone who likes to steal. Verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. It can't get any plainer. As God's people, we need to be zealous for good works. And those who in the world say, you're trying to earn your salvation. No, I'm trying to be zealous for God. Chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. It's teaching us that there's laws that of the land that as long as they don't conflict with God's will, we need to be doing them to be pleasing to God. And we can see that in Romans chapter 13, 1 through 5. It talks about obeying the laws of the land. What happens to those who resist the ordinance of God? In Romans, let's look at that. Let's look at Romans 13 and verse 5. Therefore, you must be subject not because of the wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Those who fail to obey the laws of the land, they face the wrath of God because God's the one that puts, God's the one that makes people subject to the rulers. Back in Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject the advice of man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. And dropping down to verse 14, let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. If you want to be unfruitful, don't do good works. So, what does it mean to be self-condemned in verse 11? That's someone that doesn't follow after the instructions that Paul has given here. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. How is it possible to conform to the former lusts if we cannot go back into sin? Again, you can ask people these questions. Look at when I talked about falling from grace, you can ask these questions and show people that yes, you can fall from grace. When we're looking at the works that God expects from us, we ask, well, if you're not doing these works, how can you expect to be saved? How can you be pleasing to God? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to transform our minds. In Revelation chapter 2, when the church of Ephesus was being addressed, in verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place on you unless you repent. This is an entire congregation in Revelation 2 that's being warned. The Lord is telling a church that it's fallen and need to repent. An entire congregation. If the church fails to repent, it will no longer have its lampstand in place. Can this be something that's good? Obviously not. So if an entire church can lose its identity, why not is it possible for a single Christian to fall from grace? So one last passage, the passage that Don read for you earlier. 1 John chapter 10, 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. I want to look at some terms. First of all, the New King James uses not practice. Or the King James says doeth not. The Greek word here, according to vine, signifies to make, to do an example, to adopt a way of expressing by the thoughts and expressing by act. That's a key word here, by the way. Expressing by act the thoughts and feelings. It stands for a number of such acts, chiefly to make, produce, create, cause. And deed comes from the same Greek word that is many times translated work. Vine says it denotes work. Young's analytical concordance simply defines it work. Young defines work as deed or business. So we can see that it comes from the same deed comes from the same Greek word. So as we keep that in mind. In verse 10, how are the children of God or of the devil made known? Okay, we look at, so the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. So whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. So that's obviously someone that is of Satan, of the devil. In verse 11, we should love one another. Does God expect Christians to do something in order to show this love? I think it's apparent. There are many things that we can do to show our love for one another. And Cain here in verse 12 is given as a bad example. His works were evil, but those of Abel were righteous. So God was looking at the works of Cain and Abel. One was doing righteous things, and one was doing unrighteous things. In verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. So we can conclude from this, thus, no love for a brother is equal to death, spiritual death. Verse 15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding him. Now, we've got no love for a brother is equal to hating your brother, is equal to being a murderer, is equal to not having eternal life. So someone that claims to say, well, you don't need works, and they don't help a brother need, it shows here they're self-condemning because we all these things equate. And Jesus gave the ultimate example of love by giving his life in verse 16. He laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There may come a time when we need to lay our lives down for a brother. Verse 17. Now the Apostle John gives an example of how someone can show their love. He says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Now we equate not helping a brother in need is not having the love of God abiding in him. In verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in word and in truth. And here we have the word, it should be indeed and in truth. Romans chapter 2, we looked at a little bit earlier. Let's go back there, though. I want to look at a couple more verses. Romans chapter 2, and we already looked through 13. Let's through 2:14. When Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So the Gentiles were doing things that pleased God. So, back to 1 John 3. So those who practice righteousness, they do the deeds of verse 17. So what are they then? They are of God in verse 10. They love the brethren in verse 10. They work righteousness in verse 12. They're not murderers in verse 12 and 15. They abide in life, verse 14. Have eternal life, verse 15. Will lay down their lives for the brethren in verse 16. Have the love of God abiding in him, verse 17. Will love in deed and in truth. They will love in deed and in truth. Let's look at one last passage. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Faith has to work through love, or the deeds of John, of 1 John 3:17. Or will not avail anything. So a conclusion we can get from this is love without deeds brings forth eternal death. So we see that grace and works work together. And whenever you come across somebody that says, oh, you're trying to earn your salvation, just go to some of these passages. It talks about that we need to work to please God. And God has chosen these works. Again, some people say, well, you're trying to do works. Oh, there may be some man-made works out there that don't please God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the the works that we find here that God approves of. Because man will make up their own works to try to earn our salvation. Some religions will do that. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about God-approved works, the one that God puts a seal of approval on. So I hope that's helpful. I know that I try to ask people some of these questions to try to get them to see that some of these things that they're saying, well, if you're working, you're trying to earn your salvation. But I'm showing them that God says if you're being like Cain was, you're a murderer. If you hate your brother, you're just like Cain. So if you've never obeyed the gospel, you're not doing God's will. You're not involved in the works that God wants you to do to please Him in this life. If you need to confess your faith, repent of your sins, be baptized to have your sins washed away, or if you've done that and you've fallen back into sin, we offer you the opportunity to make your life right as we stand and as we sing.